Hi, this is Bernie Wides, the Naturalist, and back on the air again with our new show. Our sponsor is Hearst Ranch, is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable, native grasslands of Central Californian coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and as natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information about Hearst Ranch, you can go to www.hearstranch.com. And now we're going to talk about today's topic, which is going to be the vernal equinox, which was about a week and a half ago. It was on March 20th or March 21st. It depends on a lot of variable things. So I'm going to talk about what it is, and then we'll talk about some celebrations that are connected with it. So what the vernal equinox is, it's a time, a date, it's a date that most of us recognize as symbolic of the changing seasons. As we welcome spring, people south of the equator are actually gearing up for the cooler temperatures of autumn. Well, so what happens at the equinox? Far from being an arbitrary indicator of the changing seasons, March 20th, or 21st in some years, is significant for the astronomical reasons. On March 20th, at precisely 1:32 Eastern Daylight Time, the sun was crossing directly over the Earth's equator. This movement is known as the vernal equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. For the Southern Hemisphere, this is the moment of the autumnal equinox. So we have to realize what's happening is it all affects our lives because it's the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. So the sun and the Earth do this dance all year round. The Earth rotates on its axis and it revolves around the sun. And at this particular date, the sun and the Earth are at practically right angles to each other. So the sun's rays shine directly on the Earth, and mainly on the Northern Hemisphere. So the sun's axis and the Earth's axis, they're not perfectly in line. They're as you might say straight as they're going to be. So translated literally, the word equinox means equal night. Equus, or equal, and nox meaning meet, night. Because the sun is positioned above the equator, day and night are about equal in length all over the world during the equinoxes. A second equinox, of course, as I said, occurs in September, and we'll talk about that one after the summer in September. As I said, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's spring, and in the Southern Hemisphere, it's beginning of autumn. So these brief but monumental moments owe their significance because the Earth's axis is tilted 23.5 degrees, tilted the Earth's axis. Because of the tilt, we receive the sun's rays most directly in the summer. In the winter, when we are tilted away from the sun, the rays pass through the atmosphere at a greater slant, bringing lower temperatures. If the Earth rotated on an axis perpendicular to the plane of the Earth's orbit around the sun, there would be no variation in days or nights or temperatures, and we would have no seasons. Well, so you know, twice a year this happens. We get this amazing thing, and everybody looks forward to the spring equinox, as I said, because it's the beginning of summer. So if we just put the astronomy aside for a minute, people have recognized the vernal equinox for thousands of years. There's no shortage of rituals and traditions surrounding the coming of spring. Many early people celebrated for basic reasons that their food supply would soon be restored. You know, in the old days when it was difficult to preserve food, the only way they had to was drying it or salting it or smoking it. They had to store up at the end of the summer and the harvest time. That would have to last them the whole winter because sometimes if they would run out of food, they would run out of luck. And the winter was known as the time of starvation in a lot of places because there wasn't very much to eat. It's also probably let's see, we'll talk about the holidays a little bit. The date is significant in Christianity because Easter always falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox. It's also probably no coincidence that the early Egyptians built the Great Sphinx so that the Sphinx, so it points directly towards the rising sun on the day of the vernal equinox. So we're going to go back in time now and talk about some of these celebrations that predate most of the religions that we now know about, Christianity and Judaism and Mohammedanism or Islam. Pagan religion in the ancient Mediterranean region had a major seasonal day of religious celebration, or following the spring, on the same day, or following the spring equinox. In one religion, which was called Cybele, C-Y-B-E-L-E, it was the Pythagorean fertility goddess. It had a consort, that means a partner, who was believed to have been born via a virgin birth. Now remember, this is before Christianity. He was Attis, who was said to have died and been resurrected each year during the period of March 22nd to March 25th, at the time of the vernal equinox in the Julian calendar. Okay, so years ago, people used to use the Julian calendar, which was put into use by Pope Julian. But these pagan religions were even before that Julian calendar, because the Julian calendar was already when the Catholic Church was organized. Wherever Christian worship of Jesus and pagan worship of Attis were active in the same geographical area in ancient times, Christians used to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus on the same date, and pagans and Christians used to quarrel bitterly about which of their gods was the truest prototype and which was the imitation. Since the worship of Cybele was brought to Rome in 204 BCE, about 250 years before Christianity, it's obvious that if any copying occurred, it was the Christians that copied the traditions of the pagans. So this is hotly disputed, of course. Today, no consensus exists on the linkage between the Attis legend and the stories associated with many other godmen and Jesus Christ. Some religious historians believe that the godman death and resurrection legends were first associated with pagan deities many centuries before the birth of Jesus, as I said before. They were simply grafted onto stories of Jesus' life in order to make Christian theology more acceptable to pagans in the Roman Empire. So as you remember, before Christianity was on the ascendancy, there were a lot of pagan religions around in Rome and the Mediterranean. Okay, so ancient Christians had an alternative explanation. They claimed that Saturn had created counterfeit pagan deities with many of the same life experiences as Jesus had. Satan and his demons had done this in advance of the coming of Christ in order to confuse humanity. So that's what the ancient Christians said to counteract what the pagans were saying, that their God predated Jesus. Most modern-day Christians regard the Attis legend as being a pagan myth of little value. They regard Jesus' death and resurrection account as being an exact depiction of real events and unrelated to the earlier pagan traditions. So you can see that the equinox, which has gone on Earth and the sun ever since the Earth and sun existed, was interpreted differently by different religions. And many of the oldest religions, it was a very important part because, as I said, it was the return of the days were getting longer, and it was the return of the sun, and it was the time of planting crops. So I'm going to quote some more from this article that I found from a site called Religious Tolerances. It's a Canadian site, and if you want to check it out, it's www.religioustolerance.org. SPEQUI2HTM. I know that's a long site, but I'll repeat it again later. Okay, so we said that the Attis legend was a pagan myth, and it predated the story of Jesus. Among the Roman Catholic Church and Protestant denominations, Easter Sunday falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon after March 20th, as I said before. This ancient linkage to sun and moon worship are obvious. Many sources incorrectly state that the starting day of the calculation is the actual day of the equinox, rather than the nominal date of March 20th. Other sources use an incorrect reference to March 21st. So it's very confusing because of the use of different calendars and different ways to say which is the actual day of the equinox and the exactual time when the sun crosses the equator. So that's still a problem today, but every religion picks the one that they want to use. Easter Sunday can fall on any date from March 22nd to April 25th. The year-to-year sequence is so complicated that it takes 5.7 million years to repeat, you know, to get the exact time all over again. Eastern Orthodox churches sometimes celebrate Easter on the same day as the Roman Catholics and Protestants. However, if that date does not follow Passover, then the Orthodox churches delay their Easter sometimes by over a month. So you know, if any of you are Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox, that the that Easter comes out on a different day because of the use of a different calendar. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go a little more deeply into these legends and myths and early things because they're very interesting and they're very closely tied to the equinoxes. Okay, so we're going to go back to ancient Britain. Both the solstice and the equinox were the highly sophisticated preoccupation of the mysterious megalithic people who predated the Celts, Romans, and Saxons on Europe's Atlantic fringe by thousands of years. So if you remember the solstices, we spoke about that on one of my early programs when I spoke about the beginning of spring with the solstice. So the solstices and the equinoxes were very important to early people. And these people that they're talking about, the megalithic people who predated living in the British Isles before the Celts who came from Europe and the Romans who invaded and the Saxons who came, you know, English people are called Anglo-Saxons because the Saxons also came to the British Isles. So we're talking about even before them, there were people living in the British Isles, and they were called the megalithic people. So the word megalith means huge stones, and you'll see why in a minute, because I guess everybody's familiar with Stonehenge. Stonehenge was built also by these megalithic people, and have you all seen pictures of these huge stones standing up in a circle? But that was built to celebrate the solstice. So we'll save that for when we talk about the solstice. Now, we're going to switch over to ancient Ireland in a minute, and we'll talk about this celebration in Ireland and also about some stone construction that was in Ireland. But I'm going to stop now for a minute and take a break and take a drink. And today we're at the Heritage Radio Network coming from Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick. And there's a lot of construction going on around here. When I came in this morning, the property next door seems to be part of Roberta's now, and it looks like it's going to be a great garden out there. And the vegetable garden on the roof has started and blooming, and I just saw a group of school kids taking the tour. So we're going to stop now, and we'll be back shortly to talk about the ancient people who lived in Ireland. Well, Bernie Wide's back on the air now. Remember, our sponsor today is Hearst Ranch, which grows this terrific beef. And you could probably look for it on your market, in the market, or maybe it's just sold wholesale to restaurants. Well, I don't really know that answer. I'll have to find out for you. So we're going back to ancient Ireland now. We're talking about the megalithic people that lived there before the times of the Anglo-Saxons and the Celts and the Celts and all those other people. So in ancient Ireland, the spring and fall equinoxes were celebrated. They were very important. And this is about 5,000 years ago. A cluster of megalithic cairns, or cairns, were scattered through the hills at Longcrew, which is about 55 miles northwest of Dublin in Ireland. Now, a cairn or a cairn is a pile of stones, okay? When people went hiking along trails or paths in the old days, they would put a pile of stones up as a cairn for emergency supplies for people. Like when the explorers went to places like the Arctic and Antarctica, they would make cairns, leaving emergency supplies along the way. But in Ireland, the cairns were very big, cairns or cairns were very big, and some of them were became tombs to bury people in. So picture a dome shape sitting on the ground made up of stones with a cave going inside it. So the one at Longview that I'm going to talk about, it has a T passage in it. So if you entered the cave then and you walked to the back wall, it was a T. So you could either go to the left or the right where there were tombs. And at the back of the wall, let me quote this from this article, Longview Cairn T is a passage tomb which is designed so that the light from the rising sun on the spring and fall equinoxes penetrated a long corridor and illuminates a backstone, which is decorated with astronomical symbols. So what I'm going to do, which I forgot to do, is give Jack some photos to put on the gallery, and he could put them up after the program's over, and you could take a look at them, and you could see the picture of this backstone lit up with golden sunlight. And the sun only reached that stone at the time of the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. So you know that to these people, it was very important the times of the year, because in the northern countries, it was time to plant and get the crops in the ground. And southern countries around the Mediterranean, it was the time was the symbol of the first harvest. Okay, so we're going to continue now. We're going to jump from Ireland and ancient Britain, which we spoke about, to the ancient Germans. The word Astera, the Germanic fertility goddess, was associated with human and crop fertility. So listen to this word. It's O-S-T-A-R-A. The English word Easter was derived from her name. On the spring equinox, she mated with a solar god and conceived a child that would be born 9 months later on December 21st. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Well, we'll talk about it. And that was the time, it was the Yule, as the Germans called the winter solstice. And what else happens around that term? At that time in December? Christmas. So Jesus' birth is supposedly around that time. So here's an ancient German fertility sect with using the name Astera, which might have even meant star, because the word star is in it, a fertility goddess. So we're going to jump right across the ocean now and talk about the ancient Mayans, because as I said, cultures all over the earth were influenced by these equinoxes. The ancient Mayans, the indigenous Mayan people in Central America, have celebrated a spring equinox festival for 10 centuries. As the sun sets on the day of the equinox on the great ceremonial pyramid called El Castillo, because it looks like a castle, in Mexico, its western face is bathed in the late afternoon sunlight. The lengthening shadows appear to run from the top of the pyramid's northern staircase to the bottom, giving the illusion of a diamondback snake in descent. This has been called the return of the sun serpent. Since ancient times, it's been called that. And even today, if you go to Mexico and you go there on the equinox, people come to watch this event happen. So also there's going to be a photo of this pyramid on the photo gallery. So make sure at the end of the show you get turn on the photo gallery and you'll see these pictures. I have to remember to give them to my engineer, Jack. I forgot this morning. Okay, so now we're going to hop back across the Atlantic and we're going to talk about the ancient Greeks. So we've spoken about already the ancient Britons, the ancient Irish, the ancient Germans, the ancient Mayans. and now the ancient Greeks. The god-man Dionysus was a major deity among the Greeks. As a god of the spring rites, of the flowering plants and fruitful vines, Dionysus was said to be in terrible pain throughout the winter, when most living things would sicken and die or hibernate. So Persephone, a daughter of Demeter was the goddess of agriculture, descended into the other world and returned near the time of the spring equinox. So what she did was, as the Greeks thought, she went down into the underworld and spent the winter down there because it was just too cold on Earth. And the sun god Dionysus was in pain all winter long because there was no sunlight, and it wasn't too good for him. So Persephone, the daughter of Demeter, as I said, she descended into the other world and returned near the time of the spring equinox. This story has close parallels to various goddess legends, stories of the life of King Arthur and of Jesus Christ. Okay, now we're going around the Mediterranean to Persia. Now, where is Persia? Persia is where Iran and Iraq is now, the ancient country of Persia. People used to call themselves Persians, and their major religion was Zoroastrianism. So various ancient civilizations who lived in Mesopotamia, Sumeria, Babylon, and a place called Elam, around 3000 to 2000 BCE, celebrated New Year's at the time of the spring equinox, which sort of made sense because it was the spring, the plants were new, everything was new, and they called that the spring equinox the New Year. So it has a name called No, Ruz, capital R-U-Z. And this has been celebrated in that part of the world for thousands and thousands of years. Modern-day Iran, which was Persia, since the time of this long name, the Hegemonish period, over 2,500 years ago, we have records of being celebrated at that time. It survived because of Zoroastrianism, which was the religion of ancient Persia before the advent of Islam about 14 centuries ago. So here we are, an ancestor of Islam, or a predecessor, being celebrated, called Zoroastrianism. And people still celebrate that today. You can see references to it in a lot of books. Okay, in that faith, the Lord of Wisdom created all that was good and became God. The hostile spirit called Angra Mayanu, these words are tough, residing in the eternal darkness, created all that was bad and became the hostile spirit. This dualistic sun-Satan concept is surprisingly close to the views of conservative Christianity today. I would say a lot of Christians believe that, you know, that Satan is the evil one and God is the good one. So this holiday of No Result continues to be celebrated in Albania, Azerbaijan, Afghanistan, Iran, Turkey, and many countries in Central Asia as a secular holiday today. So it's lost its connotation of the God and the devil. It's held on the day of the equinox or on the day before or after the equinox. It is also observed as a holy day for adherents of Sufism and the Baha'i faith. So the Baha'i faith, I think, is an offshoot of one of the Indian religions, which I'll have to think about. And Sufism is an offshoot, I think, of Islam. Okay, back to the ancient Romans, who, you know, a lot of our history is tied up with ancient Rome, and the history of Christianity certainly is tied up with the Romans, who, invaded what's now Israel or Judea, and they conquered the country. So let's talk about the ancient Romans. In about 200 BCE, by the way, I'm going to stop for a minute. A lot of people will use the expression BC, which means before Christ, but the modern scholars have changed that because it's sort of prejudicial to people who are not Christians. So the better term is, you might say politically correct, is BCE, which means before Common Era. And also the abbreviation AD, which used to be, we used to use that, but that's not used that much anymore. That's standard for Anno Domini, or the year of our Lord. So if it was the year of our Lord 5, it would be AD 5. But most of that, I think, is being phased out because it was the same thing, the same problem as using BC. Okay, so in ancient Rome, I said about 200 years BCE, before the Common Era, mystery cults began to appear in Rome just as they had in earlier Greece. So most notable was Sybil. Here she is again, the Sybil cult, centered on Vatican Hill. Now just think about that. They had a temple to Sybil on Vatican Hill. And we know now that the Vatican is in exactly the same spot as Vatican Hill was used by the ancient Romans. So it was associated with Sybil, with the Sybil cult, was that of her lover. I think we mentioned that before, Attis. And his name in different religions is Tammuz or Osiris or Dionysus or Orpheus under a new name. So, you know, these names kept changing with the cultures. So the festival began as a day of blood on Black Friday and culminated after 3 days in a day of rejoicing over the resurrection. Attis was born of a human woman, a virgin named Nanna. He grew up to become a sacrificial victim and savior, slain to bring salvation to mankind. His body was eaten by his worshippers in the form of bread. He was crucified on a pine tree, whence his blood, his holy blood, poured down to redeem the earth. The celebration was held on March 25th, all right, which is around the equinox, 9 months before his birth on December 25th. In Rome, the rituals took place where St. Peter's now stands in Vatican City. The similarities between the stories of Attis and Jesus are obvious. So we have all these connections. Let's go back to those ancient Saxons who eventually ended up in the British Isles. So, you know, because the people from England are called Anglo-Saxons. Estora, which we have spoken about, was the Saxon version of the Germanic lunar goddess Ostara. She gave her name to the Christian Easter, as we said before, and to the female hormone estrogen. So the root of the word estrogen, we know as the female hormone, comes from the same root as Easter comes from, Ostara. So her feast day was held on the full moon following the vernal equinox, almost identical calculation as for the Christian Easter in the West. Okay, so I'm going to sign off for a minute now, and I'll be back in the middle of this exciting story about the Saxons. And if you want to know how rabbits and eggs got mixed up with the Easter celebration, that's what I'm going to talk about next. Because as you all should know, rabbits do not lay eggs. So we'll be right back. Hi, this is Bernie Wides back on the air, The Naturalist, and today we're talking about the vernal equinox. Vernal means spring, and equinox means equal night, because people say it's equal days and nights, but it really isn't, and that's a very technical subject that I don't want to go into. It has to do with calendars and angles and all that stuff. So we were talking about the ancient Saxons, who many of you may be descended from the ancient Anglo-Saxons if your ancestors came from Ireland or Scotland or Wales or England or even from Northern Europe, because the Saxons I think, originated in Europe, and they migrated to the British Isles. Okay, so we were talking about Easter, and this word, O-E-S-T-R-E, Ostri, I would guess we'd pronounce it. So we were talking about how the German version of the goddess Ostara became Ostri, and it's almost identical to the to our word Easter in the West. Okay, so there's a legend, and this article said it's a delightful legend associated with Ostri, was that she found an injured bird on the ground one winter. To save its life, she transformed it into a hare. You know, a hare is another name for a rabbit. But the transformation was not a complete one. The bird looked the appearance of a hare, but it retained its ability to lay eggs. The hare would decorate these eggs and leave them as a gift to Ostara. So there you go. Where did the custom of Easter egg decorating and Easter egg rolling, and where did it come from? Well, you just heard it here. It came from the ancient Saxon goddess Ostara, who transformed the bird that was injured into a hare or a rabbit. That's another name for a rabbit. But it still retained its ability to lay eggs, because many kids always wonder, what do eggs have to do with the Easter bunny? Because, as we know, that rabbits are mammals, and most mammals don't lay eggs like that. Most eggs that we eat are from birds, chickens, ducks, geese, and other eggs. And you know the ostrich, which is a huge bird, has a huge egg. So there you are, as some more interesting history, still based on the equinox. Okay, the Baha'i faith, which I mentioned before, is an ancient Iranian New Year's Day festival, which occurs near the spring equinox. It is now a world holiday of the Baha'i faith. If the equinox occurs before sunset, then New Year's Day is celebrated on that day in the Middle East. Otherwise, it's delayed until the following day. Remember I said that the 21st and the 20th always get mixed up? It depends on the calendar of the culture. Okay, and that in the Middle East, it's a New Year's Day. It is one of the nine holy days of the Baha'i faith, when no work is undertaken. It is celebrated with many symbols indicating regrowth and renewal, much like the Christian Easter. Okay, so we'll jump to Christianity now and talk a little bit more of some of the history of Christianity. So the record of the Roman army's execution date of Yeshua of Nazareth, later known as Jesus Christ, has been lost. Dates linked to the Jewish Passover celebration in the year 20 to 23 CE, which remember I said is Common Era, have been suggested. Easter commemorates Jesus' execution, visit to hell, and resurrection. Easter Sunday is a movable holy day, being celebrated from late March to late April. It is named after the Teutonic goddess, which I told you, Esterae, whose name is probably yet another variant of the Ishtar name, Asteri and Aset. So the history of that name is very long, Easter. And the beginning of Christianity is also linked to these holidays. Okay, Roman Catholics hold the Feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary on March 25th. This was the date of the spring equinox, according to the old Julian calendar. So in Roman times, after Christianity was organized and the Roman Catholic Church came into being, there was a pope called Pope Julian, and he made up the calendar. And that calendar was used for many years. Now we don't use it anymore. We use the Gregorian calendar, which was put together by a committee for Pope Gregory. So Catholics believe that this is the time when the angel Gabriel told Mary that she was pregnant, that therefore they named the Feast of the Annunciation, making this big announcement. 9 months later, at Christmas, which was Yule to the Germans, Mary is traditionally believed to have given birth to Jesus while still remaining a virgin. So this story of the virgin birth of Jesus has a parallel in some ancient legends that I spoke about. And we'll see what this article has to say about that later on. And now we'll jump to Judaism, because, you know, the holiday of a Passover occurs right near the vernal equinox also. Its origin, the Passover dinner itself, which is the Passover Seder, was a fertility spring festival. This is way back before the Israelites ended up in Egypt, when they were a wandering tribe in the desert. The unleavened bread, coming from the agricultural past of the people, and the Paschal lamb from its more distant pastoral years. So the eating of the matzah, or unleavened bread, which is now associated with the flight of the Israelites from Egypt, even has an earlier history than that, and was eaten on the spring by the tribes of Israel from their agricultural past. And also the Paschal lamb, because on the during the Passover Seder, you have a shank bone of a lamb on the Seder plate to commemorate the sacrifices in the temple of the first lambs born in the spring. So the spring and the equinox, same thing. And also, sometimes Jesus is referred to as the Paschal lamb, or the sacrifice, which he sacrificed his life for humanity. Okay, so let's move along. So in the Bible passage of Leviticus, I'll give you the reference, 23:5-8, and Numbers, another part of the Old Testament, 28:16-18, state that the Passover is to be celebrated in the springtime on the 14th day of the Jewish month of Nisan. Okay, so the Jewish calendar is still based on a lunar calendar, so that's why the months are a little bit different. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread to the Lord is held on the 15th. It evolved into a celebration of the story of God's liberation of the ancient Hebrews from slavery in Egypt. So even Judaism, which is older than Christianity, has more ancient roots than what's in the Old Testament, when they were wandering tribes and they celebrated when they were shepherds. They would kill one newborn lamb and use that as a sacrifice. Okay, we're going to hop back to, as the explorers called, the New World. That's North America and South America. Certainly wasn't a new world. It was a new world to the Europeans. So Native Americans' spirituality. We're going to talk about that for a minute. There are countries where stone structures created by natives in the past and still standing in North America. Yeah, so there are countless stones. I said countries. Okay. One was called the Calendar Stone by its modern-day finder. It is a natural amphitheater of about 20 acres in size in Vermont. From a stone enclosure in the center of the bowl, you know, the circle formed the bowl, one can see a number of vertical rocks and other markers around the edge of the bowl. At the winter solstice, the sun rose at the southern peak of the east ridge and set at a notch at the southern end of the west ridge. The summer solstice and both equinoxes were similarly marked. So here we are, ancient peoples that lived in North America celebrated the solstice and the equinoxes, just as other cultures in other parts of the world. So there's another place called the American Stonehenge. It's a 4,000-year-old megalith. Remember I said megalith means big stones. It's a site located on Mystery Hill in Salem, New Hampshire. Carbon dating has estimated the age of some charcoal remnants at about 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. So researchers have concluded that this site was erected either by Native Americans or an unknown migrant European population. The site contains five standing stones and one fallen stone on a linear alignment, which points to both sunrise and sunset at the spring and fall equinoxes. So let's go back in time then. They're saying about 4,000 years ago. Now, what was North America like 4,000 years ago? If you listen to one of my early shows, I spoke about the great ice sheet that covered North America all the way down to where the present-day Long Island is. So I don't think there were any people living up there then. They may have been living in the southern part of what we call the United States, or Central America and South America, but there were no people around this area, right where I'm sitting now in Bushwick. There were no people here. Of course, there was an ice sheet that was almost a mile thick. But as the ice sheet melted and retreated, I'm sure the peoples moved back up into this area. So we don't know where these ancient peoples came from. One story is that they came from Siberia over a land bridge when the water was tied up in ice, but we really don't know. So I'm going to stop with that one, and we're going to finish off reminding you this is the Heritage Radio Network, and I'm Bernie Wise, the naturalist, and we've been talking about the vernal equinox. And the next week's show, I'm going to talk to you about my trip to Puerto Rico. So I'm going to call it The Naturalist in Puerto Rico. See you soon. Bye.